Amen. Well, it's good to be here with you again. Just appreciated the worship time, and wow, it rings in here. You guys sing. Appreciate that. Just go back to 1 John there. Just appreciated what Brother John Omer read there. Some of that ties in with my message this morning. But he already mentioned, this was manifested the love of God, verse 9, towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 14, we have seen testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Isn't it amazing that there is a Savior? He's real. And he lives today, and he's living to save us. He's living to keep saving us, and appreciate that thought so much. I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 1. The title of my message is Neglect Not So Great Salvation, and that's taken out of my text, but I want to start in Hebrews 1, first couple verses, maybe first three verses. I think I'll read this in the Amplified. In many separate translations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth, and in different ways God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets. But in these last days he has spoken to us in the person of a Son. Notice how personal God has brought the message to us, that, like we all, that was already read, he sent his only Son. He has spoken to us in the person of a Son, whom he appointed heir and lawful owner of all things, also by and through whom he created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. He made, produced, built, operated, arranged them in order. That's our Savior. That's the one that he sent, that had this power to make, produce, build, operate, and arrange everything in creation in order. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying or radiance of the divine. Again, that's our Savior. That's the one who is speaking to us today and who has spoken to us. And he is the perfect imprint of the very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding the universe by his mighty word of power. When he had, by offering himself cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And then let's go to chapter 2. And again, this is my text, first part here. Therefore, God has brought a revelation of his heart, his desire, his motivation to save humanity, and that we are with him forever and ever throughout all eternity. Again, he revealed that to us through his Son, with a further revelation, with a beautiful revelation. And then he says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? One thing I hope that I can convey, the Spirit of God can convey to us, is how great this salvation is. It is It is such a great salvation. It saves us completely to the uttermost for eternity. And so there is a real warning here, but I hope also that we can just see how great this salvation is. How shall we escape? Let me read. Salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and doctrines and gifts according to his own will. Let me read that in the Amplified. Besides this evidence of that God himself proved this to be real, and that they personally heard that, the writer here of Hebrews, it says, besides this evidence, it was also established and plainly endorsed by God, who showed his approval of it by signs and wonders and various miracles, manifestations of his power, and by imparting the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the believers according to his own will. So part of the evidence of this great salvation, even the filling of the Spirit, and that God has given us the gift of the Spirit in our lives as we walk here on this journey. Again, it's God's great desire to speak. God is a great communicator, and he's a great revealer of his plan and his purpose for man in offering salvation so that we could be with him throughout eternity. God did make very clear to humanity that his heart was to save mankind and to offer them to offer all of us, though we were sinners, to offer us to spend eternity in his presence. And he just wants to continue to reveal his glory and the nature of his will to us throughout all of eternity. And we can't comprehend what all that means, but it's so great, and it's throughout. He's going to keep unveiling and revealing his power, his glory to us. The greatness of the revelation of who Christ is adds to the seriousness of neglect. Because in the context here, you see this. Because God has spoken to us in such a personal, direct way that he actually sent his son from heaven to become one of us and to walk here. And because of the clarity that he has revealed to man of this salvation, there's also a great seriousness and warning of this salvation if we don't. And not only the way we receive the salvation is to receive the Savior that came to save. I appreciated that that we sang about here and all he is to us this morning. One thing in reading through Hebrews, careful there, I'm going to spill that. That is how the writer brings such a beautiful revelation of Christ, of our high priest, of what Christ came to do. Then all of a sudden, like just, it seems like out of the blue, all of a sudden he brings a warning, a very serious warning. And then he just goes right on. He doesn't dwell long on that. He just brings a warning. Then he goes on, and again, he talks about this Savior. And he just, again, it's like it's like in the heart of possibly Paul that wrote this, It's like he's so overwhelmed with what God has done and what he wants and what he's doing and what Christ has come to do in humanity. And he just keeps unveiling that and unpacking that and unveiling it. And then, again, he just all of a sudden stops and warns. And I'm not going to turn to the scriptures here in Hebrews that bring this out, but I just want to mention them because to me it was very interesting as I read through these and again seeing the incredibleness of the revelation, but then the severity of the warning. And again, here, if you read chapter 1, you just see how he's just revealing that Christ is so much more than angels and man and so on. He brings that out later on here in chapter 2. But then he has the warning. And I just see a real progression, and I just want to mention this just so we just comprehend a little bit of the seriousness. The first warning is simply, he says, don't let them slip. The things you heard, don't let it just slip by, or just that you just forget about it, or it just goes through your mind. And then don't neglect it. So that's kind of where it starts, and that doesn't seem like that's something that's very easy for us humans to do. And hence the warning. But then the next warning in chapter 3, if you're writing notes, in 3 verse 7 to 4:13, he has the danger of hardening our hearts through unbelief and then not entering into his rest. And he just gives a real warning about that. So it goes from just neglect, then it goes from the danger of falling into unbelief, and through that unbelief we harden our hearts. Then the next warning is in 5:11 to 6:20, and if you know chapter 6 there, the first part is a very serious warning. And the warning there is of the danger of not maturing, which is caused, it says there, it's caused hearing. Because we really set our minds and our hearts to hear the message of God, to hear our Savior, and to hear Him speak into our lives and work in us, we cease from maturing, and the writer gives that as a very grave warning that we don't go on to maturity. And then the fourth one is in 10:26 to 39, and that's also a very great warning there, but it's the danger of drawing back. If we don't go on, there's a danger of simply drawing back. And then the one is in 25 to 29, and it's actually the danger of refusing God. So it hit me as I read through these that how this progresses to simply being careless, neglectful. And if we don't heed that warning and counter that, it actually goes to where we actually refuse to hear from God. And we actually not only refuse to hear from Him, we actually refuse God. And in essence, we refuse the mercy, the grace, the salvation that God has come, that has been offering us all this time. So it's very important that we heed the warnings that he gives us, and is that God is offering something to us that is so great that we dare not neglect that. leaky vessels. We have, most of us here have experienced great things from God in our life, great change. We know it was God. We know He did a marvelous work. We know that He touched us. He changed us. But a one-time experience in Christianity is not what God had in mind. And I think at times we fail to, maybe we fail to realize this salvation actually is meant to do in us and to be, and what Christ our Savior is meant to be in us. And so we tend to drift. We tend to be leaky vessels. We know that salvation is a precious gift. But we have this treasure, Paul says in Corinthians, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. And just because we've experienced God and His love and His grace so beautifully and powerfully doesn't mean that it's always going to be that if we neglect it, if we neglect Him. I appreciated that song that Jordan led about being in need. I think the only ever place I heard that was here at the youth meetings or something. And that is who we are. We are in need. Why are we in need? Because we have already experienced God. We've experienced His grace. We've been overwhelmed by His presence at times in our life, and we knew God was real. But there's something about our humanity. We tend to just try to go on past experience and expect that to take us all the way through. And I believe, the essence of what he's saying here as far as neglect. The thought there of, in verse 1 of chapter 2, of letting them slip, or it said, yeah, that we should let them slip, the thought there, that word in the Greek, is the thought of a flowing past, of just kind of gliding by. It's the thought of a ship that's coming into a harbor, and somehow it wasn't maneuvered right, that it finally, it's planning to come into this harbor, but all of a sudden finds itself having drifted past and misses the harbor, is the literal thought there. And it says that we should not do that with the things that we've heard. We need to give proper heed to what was spoken, what is and what was spoken, and the salvation that he has spoken about it in this context. This could be translated, I read this as one of the translations, therefore we must the more eagerly anchor our lives to the things that we have been taught, lest the ship of life drifts past the harbor and the ship is actually wrecked. And we know that this is a very safe harbor that he's bringing us into, so we don't want to miss it. The gospel of Christ, this great salvation, and this is one of my main points I want to make. It's something that is living and fresh. It's something that God has prepared for us to experience and to walk in, not just one time when we're born again, but this gospel is living and it needs to be active in us all through our lives. And this, again, is the neglect I'm talking about. Do we... I just found in my own self, I wasn't thinking about salvation because I know I experienced that when I was again. And so it's like, yeah, we know we've been saved. But it's those of us that have experienced salvation through new birth, we can neglect that salvation to where all that God wants to work in our lives through his salvation, we miss we can miss a lot of that. And so we need to be mindful that this salvation is living. Jesus the Savior is real, and he is here to continue that salvation in our life. And we need to desire that, pursue that. We need to be drawn to him and to his salvation. We need to be challenged by it and let it fill and cleanse us continually. The thought of neglect simply means to be careless. He talks about letting them slip, and he talks about neglect. And that word neglect simply means to be careless. And I think most of my life I looked at this verse in the context of someone that isn't born again. And so obviously, if you've never received salvation from Christ, if you neglect that, there is no other path to heaven. There is no other way. And so it's very serious that neglect this salvation. It's our only escape from eternal destruction. Our only entrance into heaven is through his salvation. And so, again, it's very important that we are born again and receive that new life and receive that salvation initially. But it's also important that we don't neglect it once we've received it, was the burden of my message here for those that have received it. There's still a tendency. Salvation is an incredible gift. If we read on here in chapter 2, we see what this salvation cost Jesus that we could receive it. Maybe I'll read in verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons of. And again, that's one of the purposes of this salvation. We're going to look at that a little bit at the end. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, which that's another purpose of this salvation. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, while I sing praise unto thee, and again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Oh, hallelujah. That's one great blessing that this salvation has brought. He delivered us from the power of Satan through death, and delivered them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So he took away, I think we sang about that this morning, he took away even the fear of death. That's one thing that his saving power has done for us. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, whereof in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Again, he experienced death for us so that we can experience this great salvation. So how do we that have received salvation? How do we receive salvation? I thought of the scripture brings out that salvation is a gift from God. And in the natural, we can receive a beautiful gift, and we can be so grateful for it, and we can just be so, wow, what a gift is that? And yet if we shelf in a closet somewhere, after a while, we might even forget that we have had, you know, how do we make use of the gift of salvation? Is it something that we keep before us? Is it something that we're just continually awed at? That God would be willing, God was willing to send His Son into the world and to die for us that we could be saved eternally and that we could be with Him forever. And I think one way to neglect this salvation is maybe know that we've been saved, but not continually thinking about it and be awed at the love of God, the grace of God, that God would, sinner such as I, that God would come to redeem me. We know in Matthew 25, the story there of the talents, the one man was given a talent, a gift, and the person that gave him that gift wanted him to do something with that, and he went and hid it in the ground because he said he didn't want to lose it. And the person that gave the gift to him, he spoke judgment against that man. I gave you something. It was a gift, and all you did with it was, you knew it was there, you received it, but you never did anything with it. So I just encourage you to make a mental, to mentally every morning think about and thank God and be grateful for such a great salvation. I think that's one way we don't neglect it. It becomes real to us. What is salvation? What is salvation? We use that term a lot. What is salvation? Okay. It's the Greek word is deliverance, being saved, being delivered from sin, from Satan, the power of Satan over our lives, the power of Satan's lives. It also, that word in the Greek, also preservation. It's being preserved. It's being delivered and then being preserved to something. We're preserved to go to heaven. We're preserved from the power of Satan in our lives and sin in our lives. Another definition that I read, I think, in the Word Study, it said the eternal deliverance granted immediately by God to those who accept His conditions of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus, whom it is alone attained. So again, a great salvation that we repent, and the moment we believe, we're immediately saved. It isn't long, drawn-out process, we immediately experience this great salvation. We're immediately delivered. And I know there's things that continue. That's why we dare not neglect this salvation. We're delivered and justified in the eyes of God, but there's still things in our lives that God is still going is keeping us from. So I just love that thought. This salvation is so great that the moment we believe, repent and believe, we are saved. We receive salvation immediately. Thank God. Thank the Lord for that. One thing I want to just mention too is I believe the condition for salvation remains throughout all of our life. The condition for His salvation to keep working in you is the same as it was when you first received salvation. And that is, again, faith and repentance. You know, I think our tendency is at times to wonder if our initial experience was big enough that it really brought salvation. How do I know that what I experienced initially, whether when you were born again or when you confessed your sins or whatever and believed in God, how do I, maybe you don't know, maybe your experience wasn't that, but you still know something happened, something changed. But how do you know that it was big enough that you're still saved? Do you understand what I mean? And that's one of the beauties I see in this great salvation. Because this morning, if you don't have known sin in your life, or if you have sinned, if you have failed, and you repent of that, you bring that to the Lord, and your faith is in this Savior. Now, and that's the thing. It isn't just so important that I was saved back then, but this great salvation, it continues to save us if we continue to believe in its saving power. I want to look at some scriptures. We were saved, but we still need to be saved. And the truth is, we are going to be saved. That's how great this salvation is. It's God's work in our life from the moment we believe till the moment we're in His presence forever. This salvation is God's eternal work in our lives. And I think there's maybe a lot of confusion, maybe deception in some of just the modern evangelical teaching, that it all points back to this happened here, and I know that. And praise God for what happened back then. But I guess what came to me as I felt like the Lord laid this message on my heart, what came to me is salvation is not an event that just happened back there in my past. It's an event that needs to continue to happen, or an experience that needs to continue to happen, and it has the power to continue to save us all the way through to the end. Salvation is spoken of clearly in the New Testament in three tenses, all three tenses, past, present, future. That's how great it is. It goes with us. It keeps working in us. Its power is there constantly through life, whatever we're going through, it keeps this salvation is there and keeps working in us. And let's look at some of those scriptures in the different tenses. In 2 Timothy 1:9, Paul talks of salvation as past tense. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So again, he's very clear there that he hath saved us. In Titus, let me just look at that too. I won't look at all of these. Titus 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness. Well, let me read verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared. He talks about in 3 that we were in all kinds of sin and hating and envying and disobedient, deceived, and all of that. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared. Not because of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And let me read verse 7. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So the whole aspect of salvation in the past tense, obviously that's when it started. It has to start there. We have to have a beginning point, and we have to experience that. And that is, I think according to this, what he's saying here in Titus, I think that is simply the being saved from the penalty of sin, which is justification. But just because we're justified, and we are justified freely by his grace, it doesn't mean that that's the full extent of So let's look at salvation in the present. In 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, or the tense there, even in the Amplified, it says that, but unto us which are being saved, it is the power of God. So the preaching of the cross is not only his power to get us saved, but it is the power to It is God's power to us that are being saved. It's the power of God in us that are being saved. There's a couple other scriptures. Maybe I'll look at 2 Corinthians 2 while I'm here in Corinthians 2:15 that bring it in the present tense. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved or are being saved. That again, that's the present tense. In them that perish. And then it's also in the present tense, his salvation is the work of sanctification in our life. And again, it's why it's so important that we don't neglect this salvation and that our faith is secure. Our faith is real. Our faith is activated in that I have been saved, but I know there's things in my life that God needs to save and sanctify and bring me to a further place in. And I think, Jordan, that's maybe in essence what you were saying this morning. And this great salvation, it provides that. It's there for that. And if I know that I have been saved, and His saving power and grace is still living and active in me, it's a sanctifying, cleansing power continually, presently. It keeps saving me, keeps changing me. It conforms me into the very image of Jesus Christ Himself. That is the present saving power of His salvation in us. And then also we still will be saved. It's also in the future tense. In Romans 5, 9 to 8, we'll look at a few of them. Romans 5, 9 to 10. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved. Now, wait a minute. I thought when we're justified, we are saved. He says there's something much further. Being now justified, and we were saved when we were justified, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And then chapter 13 in Romans. Let's pick up another one there. Verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. So again, he's putting salvation there in the future tense. And maybe I'll read Hebrews 9 yet too. Verse 28, the last verse of the chapter. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So again, he's putting salvation there in the future tense. So, and I believe that the salvation in the future tense is the glory, is bringing to glory. It's the actual, when we're actually glorified with Christ together for all of eternity. So again, by faith, let's let His saving, redeeming, sanctifying power work in us today, tomorrow. Believe today in His saving grace in your life. And again, I just want to say again, because this is so prevalent with many of us, has been. If you're struggling, whether you were saved back then, the beautiful thing is if you believe right now, sitting here, if you by faith believe that Christ is your Savior, you are saved right now. That's how glorious this salvation is. You can just right here say, I know there's only one that can save me, and it's Jesus Christ. And He has brought such a great salvation. And by faith, I as you believe that, His saving grace and power is working in your life right here, right now, immediately. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. Okay, let's finish up here. How do we not neglect this great salvation? One thing that I felt the Lord really laid on my heart is thank Him, praise Him for this great salvation. And not only for the gift of salvation, but praise Him for its eternal power that is in your life. And there's some powerful scriptures, and we don't have time to look at many of them, but in Psalms 95, concerning just praising God for our salvation. Psalms 95, yeah, let me get there quick. Verse 1, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." Verse 6, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God. We are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand." And then he goes on. Don't harden your heart. And that's one of the warnings there then in Hebrews 2, that he refers back to this. Rejoice in your salvation. Let's read Psalms 51, because this psalm is David's repentance and restoration to God when he had sinned with Bathsheba and had her husband murdered, and when the Nathan the priest came to him, he had this incredible psalm of repentance and crying out to God and acknowledgement of his sin. But notice what that he says here in. Well, let me read verse 10. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit." I would just encourage you to, We go through times in our life when we wonder, where is God? Where is this salvation? Where is His work in my life? But as we just turn to Him in faith and ask that the joy of His salvation that you maybe first experienced, the peace, the comfort of knowing that God saved you, just ask Him to restore that and rejoice in His salvation. We should be the most joyful, thankful people in the world for this great salvation. And how often do we wonder about things and wonder where things are at and wonder where we're at and wonder where God's at? And we should be rejoicing that He, in this salvation, that He saved us. That's one way not to neglect it. Rejoice in His salvation and in Him that would save you. A couple others, I won't take time to turn to them, but just some I wrote down. Develop a love for truth. Again, how do we not neglect this great salvation? It talks in 2 Thessalonians about, because they love not the truth which was able to save them, talking about times and where men come to, that God gives them over to believe things that aren't true. So in the context of that warning there, and he He brings in this salvation. So I want to just put that on the positive. Develop a love for truth. Also read and meditate on the scriptures. In 2 Timothy 3:15, it says that the scriptures, they're able to make you wise unto salvation. So read and meditate on scriptures that talk about our, talk about His saving power. Our lives. In Hebrews 6, along with the warning there that I mentioned before, it talks about bearing fruit and walking in things that accompany salvation. So, how do we not neglect by seeking to bear fruit and Scripture, what are things that accompany this salvation that is in me? How do I live in a way that is proof that His saving power and grace is active in my life today? And then maybe I'll mention the last one here I'll mention is testify to God's salvation. To God saving you. It talks in Revelations 12 there. It says they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, but also the word of their testimony. And if you want salvation to be real, witness to His saving power and His grace in your life. And testify to God saving you. And the change that brought into you, and the reality of Christ in your life. Maybe I'll just close with two other scriptures in Hebrews 5:9. Being made perfect, he's talking about Christ, our high. That's able to, that is at the right hand of God, interceding for us and making this salvation real and us. Being made the author of salvation unto them that obey. So again, another way to not neglected is to be. My point here is that this salvation, the greatness of it, is that it is eternal. If as long as we believe and walk with Christ, His saving power is an eternal salvation that we will be amazed at throughout all of the ages of eternity. That me. Jesus saved a wretch. And then also in Hebrews 7:25, and this is a very familiar verse, but for He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth for them. In the Amplified, therefore He's able for all time and eternity. That's how great this salvation is. We're saved. Finally, in the future, we'll be saved completely, perfectly, and for all time. And the reality of that is already in us. It's just in that until the end. Those who come to God through Him, living to make petition with Him and intercede for them. Him, God, and intervene for them. God is interceding with the Father, and He's intervening on our behalf that we can be saved utterly, completely. For all of eternity. Though this salvation us at this time from all the physical effects of the fall and sin. I think we all know that as we get older, that there's still part of that we're dealing with. And somehow, right now, this salvation doesn't save us from all of that. But it will finally. It will finally save us from every effect, physical effects of the fall. It will finally save us from new bodies, glorified bodies, sickness, without any tears, pain. But I want to say, I believe that God does save us here and now from the spiritual effect of the fall. We are, through this great salvation, we are before God as if we had never sinned. And we are accepted by Him through this salvation in the Beloved. That's already done. I mean, that's already, that part is sealed for us as long as we by faith believe and walk in that. And what a beautiful thing that is. This great salvation is far too precious to neglect. Let us let God's saving power in all of its fullness continue in our lives. It is truly a great salvation because Jesus is such a great Savior. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for that. And I just want to say again, is still the day of salvation. Someday, and by God's sake, that means someday it will not be the day of salvation. That this great salvation has been given to us for a time, a period of time, a set time by God where He has offered this great salvation. And so today is still that day. It's still that day that we can touch our lives and change our lives. And so maybe we could just stand and who's closing? Are you, Jesse, are you? Let's just stand, sing that little chorus, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." Just as thanksgiving and praise for such a Savior, for such a salvation as this. I know that's very elementary maybe, or it's very simple. But if we lose the simplicity and the beauty and the thanksgiving of that, then we're neglecting something that has been such a precious gift to us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.